What is this foolishness?
How many dreams can you shape in a minute, an hour?
The kind of clean you like best.
Lost three of my teeth, too. All right, so you lost. Next time you win.
Steamy, hot, hearty, delicious, invigorating.
There you have it. Folks at home, how you doing tonight? Welcome to a brand new episode of Ike Live. Once again, banging out the hits for you. We got a special one tonight. This is kind of breaking news, too, before I even intro the room. Brandon Polinick, who won the Bass Elite Tournament on Champlain like 5 minutes ago or something? What was it, 10 minutes ago? Had to be just within a few minutes. Brandon's going to be on the show. Also, we've got Ryan Salzman coming on the show here at Ike Live to talk about some very strange, bizarre stuff that's going on down there in Alabama.
There was some shatting.
Right.
Someone shat upon his truck.
Right. This is going to be a good one, man. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. It's going to be a great show. Hang in there with us. I want to intro the room, and of course, I want to start this time. I don't want to start with the room. I actually want to start with my co-host. You know him, the crust of the show, the one and only Pete Glusick, the Dean, joining us via Zoom. Pete, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Pete.
Lot going on in the fishing world right now, and it's going to be fun. Fun to talk about tonight, especially I heard the news about Vegas today. Very exciting stuff.
Yes. Yes. Vegas and Brandon with big wins on the same day. Mm. It's kind of cool.
It is cool. Brandon's win was truly amazing. I mean, those guys, oh my gosh, there was five guys within a pound of each other going into the last day.
I love those events. I love those ones, Pete. Those tight ones where there's no runaway, guy. They're the ones I
think
like.
I think one of the stories there too was Lake Champlain. You know?
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, I've never seen a smallmouth weigh that much.
Right.
That was stupid looking.
In Champlain tournaments. That was the 17-pound, 18-pound, 19-pound bags of smallmouth. They're usually very hard to come by.
Right.
And it seemed like everybody got them this week.
They had the thickness.
They did. They had the thickness. It's going to be good talking to Brandon. I can't wait. I want to intro the rest of the room. Sitting next to me here tonight on the other soft, old, beat-down chair. I guess that's what we're calling him. We've got the one and only Dave Brodzik, a.k.a. Fathead at Wharf. Dave, how you doing tonight?
Oh, excellent, man. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming in tonight. I know we're you got hours changed with work. Trying to track you down. It's hard.
Yeah, man. Every week it changes. But tonight I'm good to go.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're here. Of course, producing the show tonight, pushing buttons, making magic happen behind the booth over there. We've got the one and only Brian the Carpenter. Brian, how you doing tonight?
Doing fantastic, Mike.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too, guy.
Good to see you, man.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, last but definitely not least, very important part of the show. If you have the same view I have, you can probably see his ball sack right now. We've got the one and only Rich, a.k.a. Riz, a.k.a. Rizzo, on the IMs for us tonight. Riz, how you doing?
Good, man. Happy to be back in studio for another awesome Ike Live show.
Good to see you.
Just call him Mr. Upskirt tonight.
Yeah.
Mr. Upskirt.
Upskirt.
Definitely Mr. Upskirt.
I need
Upskirt.
To put Becky's hog in front of my
I know. Upskirt. You got to replace the hog so you can hide it. As always, Ike Live Show is brought to you by a lot of companies that really make this show happen and support the show. We want to give them a quick shout out. Of course, Mystery Tackle Box, presenting sponsor of this show. Man, it's like Christmas to your door once a month. It's a great The black box is great for intro and new baits, new stuff, new techniques. Tackle Warehouse, of course, everybody I know uses Tackle Warehouse. Bass University, great sponsor of the show. And, Pete, I'm going to ask you if you got anything going on over there in a second here. TH Marine, Dr. Squatch, Liquid Mayhem, Flambeau, Hobie, Founders. And you see a couple all-day IPAs going around the table tonight. I see one in the back and one in the front here. And here's a good one. And this is an amazing, amazing sponsor that has come on board. And we want to give him a special shout-out tonight. New sponsor, Ike Live. Tin Cup Whiskey, officially joining Ike Live. Cheers, Dave. We got a little tin cup going down right now.
Hold on. Let me in on that action. All right.
Clink. Cheers, guys. Cheers, Riz.
Cheers.
Special shout-out. Pete, we're gonna. Do you have any tin cup there? If not, we're going to overnight you some right now.
So I need to get some overnighted. Okay. That's great news. I'm excited to hear about Tin Cup. We got to have some down at the Classic. It was amazing. Got to meet the guys from Tin Cup.
And, right.
Yeah, that's it. That's exciting stuff.
It's great news. Stuff. And all those amazing sponsors, go on the IkeLive.com site, and you'll be able to see the promo codes for all those companies with some great offers to you. Mm. Listen to me. Right now, if you're watching over on Facebook, you know the deal. We're going to be giving away this world-famous Ike Live gift bag. It weighs at least 20 pounds. Dave, give me a gauge on that. Would you say 20, 23 pounds in that range?
Heavy.
It's heavy.
Definitely an Ike and Ellie 23-pounder.
It's in the 23-pound range, I'm telling you. I know weights of stuff. I'm very, very accurate with weights, guessing weights. This is in the 20s. If you're over on Facebook, do me a favor. All you have to do for a chance to win this bag is like and share the feed. If you do that, Riz, in the last segment, we're going to pick a winner. Is that correct, Click?
That is absolutely correct, Mike.
Okay.
And also, guys, over on the Facebook page and our YouTube page, make sure you got your notifications turned on so that you can stay up to date with all the general goofiness that we have going on with the Ike Live crew and the Ike Live page. And, guys, if you're out there and you haven't checked out the Ike Live YouTube channel yet, go over there and check it out. We're releasing stuff over there.
Great content.
Every week, sometimes twice a week.
Great content.
There's boat builds, there's kayak builds, there's fishing content.
There's general goofiness.
There's general goofiness. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff out there, so check out the Ike Live YouTube page and turn the notifications on.
Yeah.
There's prejudiced editing besmirching my skills.
That's true. Some of that's happened as well, I think. Also, want to remind you, if you're watching tonight, your feedback is critical. Very critical, like a black leech up north when you're fishing for smallmouth. It's critical. We want to hear from you. Great. Hit us up on the IM, and Riz is going to put them through, man. If something really special comes through, we may even throw a couple more prizes out tonight, Dave. Who knows, right?
Was that a Linder Brothers critical?
Yeah,
critical.
That was the Linder Brothers. That was an I think it was an Al or a Ron. It was one of the Linders.
Critical.
Critical. Yeah. Dave, Mike, a black leech is critical.
Dave, Mike P. wants to know why you've already had to erase what you're writing down several times in the show.
Tell Mike P. Special education.
The HTE.
No, that's wrong.
That's all right.
It's all right. Pete, real quick, I do want to hear Bass University's rocking, of course. I know you just filmed some amazing new content with Jeff last week. Give us an update. What's going on with BU? What are people looking out for? What's going on here?
The big news continues to be the Bass U app, which we dropped last week, and everybody's using it. We're getting great reviews over on at the app stores and the Google Play Store. So go check it out. It's a great way to get the content on your mobile device. It makes it super easy on your iPhone or your Android device. And go check that out. And we've got great stuff. We're remastering some of our really amazing content. One of which is the Greg Hackney Shallow Cranking piece, which was extremely well viewed over at the site, and we're delivering that real soon, as well as Schooling Bass with Fred Rombana. So a lot, as always, going on right in line with what's happening in fishing right now as we get into the summertime schooling time. Go check it out at bassu.tv.
Very, very good. And before we start the show, Brian Carpenter, of course, every show we want to start by saying thank you to the military, our men and women in the service, active veterans. Thank you for what you do. It is definitely a crazy, bizarre world right now. Also, shout out to policemen, firemen, EMT, first responders, doctors. Thank you, guys. It's freaking nuts. The world is nuts right now, man. I do want to, before, I know, Brian, we've got Brandon Polinick coming on. We'll remind everybody again watching right now, if you're just tuning in, what a great show we have for you tonight. It's going to be a good one. We're going to have two big segments. Of course, Brandon Polinick is going to be joining us in the first segment. We're going to grill him, man. We're going to grill him on this win. It's a big win. I know it's exciting, but, you know, it's the first year back to Bass. And he goes back and wins one. I mean, I want to hear from him about that. It's got to feel right to him.
I immediately thought was like, how, like how are those guys that like were there last year at the Classic and no one knew who they like? How are they feeling that that a couple of the hammers are back, a couple of the heavyweights are back? You know?
I don't know.
Now imagine when if there is ever a mass defection.
Yeah.
You know how crushing that must be. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, or they feel the opposite, or they feel like, you know, now they're competing against some of the biggest names in the sport, you know. Brandon for sure is one, Gerald Swindle for sure is one, guys with AOYs, guys with classic titles.
Yeah.
You know, when you win there and when you beat those guys there, it's got to feel right. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, I feel like that in local tournaments. Like, you know, I know that analogy is a little off, but, you know, when I go to these Thursday nighters, these guys are hammers at these places. That's all they fish. You know, you go to DOD with guys that fish there every other day, and, you know, when you go there and hang, it feels better. You know, if those guys weren't there, you're like, oh, I want a Thursday nighter, but it's a bunch of scrubs. You know, but when you go to a Thursday nighter and you got Riz, you know, and you got a dude that fishes there every other day, and then you win, then you're like, oh, man, that feels good. You know, so who knows?
It's good to see Bass back on ESPN, too.
It's
also
great,
man,
to see him back on ESPN,
like setting the
too.
DVR to record that. Like, I'm old school, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is, but like, I know the same content's on the internet.
Yeah.
But for me watching it, I don't know. I don't know what
it's,
it is.
Oh, it's
man.
Great to see it live. I can tell you this. And Brian Carpenter, tell me if you agree. Riz, tell me if you agree. Watching something live on your device, on your little phone, I want to hear from you, too, Pete, on this. It feels different than when I've watched it the last few days on ESPN2 live. It just feels different. Mm-hmm. I can't explain it.
What do you like better?
I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that it's on this giant screen. Maybe the fact that I subconscious, you know, I know that the sports world is seeing this as well at the same time. I don't know. I enjoy watching it on ESPN2 live better than I did on my phone or my tablet.
See, I don't know. Like, I watched you win sitting on the edge of my ottoman on ESPN. You know, you won the Classic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I imagine it's probably a generational thing, right?
Yeah, maybe it is.
What are you griping about?
I'm not griping. We're just saying that Mike and I are kind of saying we like seeing it on TV better than watching it on a device.
Well, of course you do. The TV's damn 70 inches, and this thing's straight.
Yeah,
is this a real
it.
Conversation?
Of course it is.
Okay.
Jeez. Well, sorry, drunk dad.
I like bigger screen better than little screen. Let's go into depth on this.
Now,
sorry, drunk
I'll
dad,
jump
but
in.
We'll
I'll,
shut up.
I'll jump in on this from the other side, that I watch Bass Live off of my phone and laptop or tablet almost exclusively.
Then you just hear drunk dad.
Yeah, because I can take this with me wherever I'm going. I can take the tablet with me wherever I'm going, moving around, and still watch it. Plus, I don't have cable at my house because I don't want to pay for it.
My man, I appreciate you for that.
Fuck that cable.
Yeah.
I watch it live while I'm fishing. That's one of my favorite ways to watch it.
Wow.
Watching
it live while you're fishing.
While I'm fishing.
Right.
You're out on the water. I've got a headset in. I've got my, it's on my phone, and I'm listening to what's going on.
Yeah.
And you can listen just to the conversation because they do such a good job over there.
Yeah,
that they do.
Fishing back page.
You start hearing the spinning reel sing, and then you can stop and pick up your phone to see who's catching what.
Yeah.
You know? And it keeps me dialed in. But just so you know, I cast to my big screen TV. From your iPhone, you can easily do that.
So you're up on technology.
And that's the way I prefer to do it.
Yeah, well, when you're dead sticking open water, it's a piece of cake to watch TV at the same time.
But getting back to the other point of this, which is ESPN now, you know, seeing that sports giant
absolutely
start to pay more attention to fishing
for sure.
And part of it, I think, is COVID,
yeah.
Right? They are
a big part.
A big part of it is COVID, and they're hurting for content.
Otherwise, bowling would be on.
Right? Otherwise, bowling would be on.
Thumb wrestling.
Or pocket ball. But I do like it. I do like it. I think ESPN's embracing it. Of course, Pete, we know some people that we work with mutually have connections over to ESPN, and you see them showing a renewed interest in the sport. Also, mm-hmm. Dude, I'm seeing posts that ESPN is retweeting or reposting of athletes fishing.
Yeah.
All the big basketball guys down in Orlando, when they're not fishing, a lot of them are out on the ponds. They're bass fishing.
Yeah.
I saw a saltwater post where a guy's reeling in a tuna, yeah. You know, of an athlete. So I'm seeing this renewed interest in fishing from ESPN. I like it.
How do we lose to cornhole?
I don't know.
I don't think we do. We? I mean,
they have cornhole on ESPN, yeah. Dude. Before the COVID,
mm. Did they?
Oh yeah, God, yes, know. Dude. There's teams. Yep. They have jerseys. They got Ish would be furious. They have like Stolen Valor jerseys on, and
Ish would
sponsored
be furious.
By coffee companies and
yeah,
dude,
Black Rifle Coffee.
No, like Maxwell.
The Maxwell.
Yeah, man. Jeez. I don't know.
Wow, mainstream.
That is mainstream.
Know. That is a
Ronnie spot. Moore. Ronnie Moore was commenting a lot about the viewers that they were getting on ESPN2 that were brand new to fishing, which I thought was awesome.
Good.
You know, they went out of their way to highlight them and talk to them and,
right.
You know, address their questions on the show. Cause they're getting a lot of people never saw fishing before. Yeah. Thought it was fascinating.
It's great. And that's always been, of course, Major League Fishing's one of their highlights has always been, you know,
reach new people.
We reach new people because we're on Discovery, you know, and I think they do. But again, live, you know, having it live on ESPN reaching new people feels different than a show that was taped 10
yeah.
months ago,
yeah.
You know, airing on Discovery. I do want to catch up a little on what's going on. From my end, I can tell you I do want to talk about two things. Brian DeCarpenter real quick, which is had an amazing opportunity. I know you did, too, to fish and film with Jim Miller, a good friend of the show.
Yes.
From one of the early episodes,
yes.
Years and years ago, when we fished and filmed with
Jim
and his brother. Yeah.
Dan, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was great to be up there hanging with Jim again. Dude, the thing, this is the second, and I remembered it when Jim was here before, and then I instantly...
Look, for people watching, Jim Miller's a UFC fighter. He's a lightweight,
yes.
Most octagon appearances?
Yeah, he's the current record holder
for
appearances.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Current record holder for octagon appearances. That's a bad man.
It's a bad dude. It's a bad dude. But here's what I remembered instantly, like within 5 minutes of going to his gym and you know, meeting Jim again, was how nice and down to earth he is.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Like, he is the nicest. Like, if you met him on the street, he's just a nice dude.
I think a lot of them guys, they get it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think a lot of them, they get it out of them. That's what they do when they're working out.
Right.
When they're in the gym, when they're fighting, they're getting a lot of that out of their system.
And there's no room for the ego when, you know, you go to a gym. There's always somebody that's a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, better than you, that if you come in with an ego, they're going to punch you in the nose and forget about it real quick.
Yeah. I think there's a confidence. You know, to jump in a second, I think there's also a confidence you have when you're that much of a badass.
Yeah.
You don't have to have an ego. Yeah.
Right. That's what I was going to say. If you could kill 99.9% of the population without a weapon in your hand, it's kind of like you're Bill Gates going and, you know, buying a pack of batteries. You know what I mean? Like, you got that. You know what I mean, dude?
Yeah.
In the store that they're in.
Yeah.
Take them batteries in this whole thing.
Yeah, I'll take the whole store immediately. But he's just such a great dude. But so I got a chance to go up there, Dave. This was incredible. Of course, you know, when he was here with his brother, we had a mat here, and we did some of that stuff, and it was awesome. It was a great experience. But I got to go to his gym and do all that over again, plus more.
Yeah.
You know, and his facility is great. He has an octagon there, not a smaller version of the official size, but man, it makes you remember how fucking good these guys are, how talented they are, right? Because you watch it on TV and you're like, yeah, man, they're getting in fights, you know, and you just think it's just but no, dude.
Did you see guys training?
Oh yeah, there were some other guys training.
Yeah.
But I mean, these guys, their technique,
yeah,
the skill, Pete, his wrestling techniques are so unbelievable. So at one point, I told Brian this, at one point they had me go in the octagon with Jim and literally just try to, not using anything I had just learned, but try to take Jim down. It was impossible. I mean, for 5 minutes, I did everything I could do to move him. I couldn't even move the guy. I couldn't even move him. And at the end of it.
He's your size, too.
Oh, yeah, he's my size. At the end of it, he just got sort of frustrated with me. He was just like, welcome. And I was like, what the? What just happened? Oh, yeah, he flipped me. He flipped me down.
In your defense, with the way you could break dance and how agile, you would have been an amazing wrestler if you would.
Yeah, I don't know. But
that would have. Well,
I don't know about that. But the technique and the skill is so unbelievable. And, you know, and again, until you're there having it happen, you don't really appreciate it, you know? I want to tell you one other story real quick, Pete. Real quick. So he was teaching me the guillotine, and he has a particular way that he imposes that move that's a little different. And I was, you know, so learning all these techniques, and he's showing me. And on most of these, I wanted to have it done to me first so I could sort of figure it out. And, you know, so Jim's like, all right, no problem. I'm gonna do it on you. And just tap, you know, when it's too much. I said, all right, you know. And my mind's thinking, and I'm really trying to pay attention, and I'm trying to learn. And, dude, he gets me in this thing, and I'm gagging, choking, blacking out, passing out all at the same time, and I forget to tap because my mind's somewhere else. So I'm just like, gah! And I'm literally starting to see like white,
yeah,
the white flashes.
Yeah.
And he noticed, you know, and then like let off.
Backed
He's
off.
Like, why didn't you tap? I'm like, shit, I didn't remember.
I forgot.
My eyes were shooting out of my skull.
I was fighting for my life.
Yeah. But it was great, Pete. I know you have a wrestling background, but it was great, man.
Yeah, I remember brother Dan put me in a triangle hold and for like a split second, and I still haven't recovered from that. I still feel it when I'm flipping and pitching and stuff.
Wow. You
know? But
that's awesome.
I was just curious, like, if you had done any sparring. I see that you had done some wrestling sparring. I was just curious if they put like headgear on and pads and
yeah, we did
punches with them. Did
yeah,
you
we did. We did some punching. We did some stand up stuff.
Some punching.
Did you do some like Muay Thai, like Muay kickboxing? Thai.
We did some kickboxing. Yeah. And on the kickboxing, this is incredible.
We did punching the cuffs.
Yeah, we did fishing.
Punching and
we
kicking.
Did walking. We did eating at the restaurant. That was great too. But here's the great thing. So we did some of the Muay Thai stuff, and where Jim had one of his trainers there as well, and he's holding, I don't know the piece of equipment, but it's like a bag that you hold, you know, like a pad.
Yeah.
And fuck, Jim's throwing these kicks, and every time his foot, and here's the thing, it's not his foot.
It's his shin.
It's where the bend is. He's using his shin.
Yeah.
And every time he hits,
every time.
Dude, every time he hits that bag, I swear he's pushing the guy back a foot.
And it sounds and like a bat.
Dude, it sounds like a bat. It sounds like a firework gone off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's my time to go up and try, you know? And I'm like, and I'm like actually God. Trying, Pete, right? Oh, yeah. This isn't me pussyfoot. And I'm like, you know, and I don't have, because like when you look at him, he's, you know, he's not just kicking. He's like his whole.
Oh, it's torque, yeah.
It's torque.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure that out.
Hip
when I'm
flexor.
Hitting. Yeah, when I'm hitting, it's like, ee! The dude's not even moving at all.
Damn it.
In fact, he's moving forward.
He's like bracing for it.
Yeah. And there's another. You know, and I'm like, oh, God, this is so embarrassing. And all this is being taped.
Look like Linus and Linus.
Oh, yeah. Right? It's awesome. Terrible. It's terrible. But it was a great experience. And then I got to, the next day, I got to fish with Jim, which was very, very cool again, you know. And remembered that he is a fisherman, you know, for sure he could fish. And I love that. I love when you fish with celebrities or athletes and they're not holding the reel upside down. Like, he brought his own rod, his own reel. He had his own baits. He had his own frog tied on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was great. And we waded around. We did the hip wader stuff, which he does a lot of anyway. And it was really cool, you know, getting a chance to fish with him. We caught a bunch of fish. We caught about a dozen fish. So it was good. It's a good day.
I thought I thought you might fish out of the Margay that he won a few years ago.
I know. We talked about that story. It's incredible. He won the first ever Ike Foundation Celebrity Pro-Am, him and his brother.
Yes, they did.
With Joe Sancho.
With Joe Sancho.
Yeah.
Is it still
ended up getting
under,
rid of that boat finally.
Oh, they did? I thought it might still be sitting in the driveway.
No, I think they got rid of it. Yeah, I asked if he still had it. He said he didn't. So I don't know if he got rid of it. Yeah.
So Mike's punching bag on the message board wants to know if you got punked by Jim Miller, and that's why you had to wear pink pants.
Oh, yes. I did. I lost the bet, so I have the pink pants on tonight.
Salmon.
Shout out to Jim Miller wearing salmon pants. So that was a great part of my week last week. And then, of course, I need to catch up tonight when we get Brandon on because I didn't see any of it. So Vegas had his second Bass Nation.
How about it?
Youth tournament today. They had a nice turnout on Manasquan Reservoir, which was awesome in itself. It's such a throwback, you know, being there because we were all there the year the reservoir opened.
Yeah, half a lifetime ago.
Half a lifetime ago, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, Pete, it's like 91 or 92. Might be 92 when Manasquan opened.
Right.
And we were there
right.
when the trees were forest. Everything was new,
know.
And all these years later, still sort of looks the same, but a lot of the timber's fallen. There's a lot of grass in there now. Hydrilla and milfoil has gotten in there. Grass out to 13 feet, 14 feet, Pete, in spots. So it's a different fishery. But, it was nice getting out in the boat with another kid this time. So I was a boat captain for not just Vegas, but also a young man named Alex. Shout out to Alex. I'm sure he's not watching. But it was great to watch these kids go to work, and watch how they set up on this stuff and how they fished it. Under difficult conditions, we had a 10 to 15 mile an hour south wind.
Ooh.
So they were dealing with boat positioning and, line management and really, really
Vegas,
awesome.
Were you boat captain in the Crawdad with two kids?
We took the big boat today.
Oh, okay.
Took the big boat, which was a blessing in disguise with the waves and stuff on Manasquan today. It would have been tough in a Crawdad. So
Vegas runs the trolling motor on the Cat?
Vegas runs the trolling motor, does a pretty good job. We use the anchor lock a lot.
Spotlock.
Lawrence's version of Spotlock.
Right. I'm sorry about that.
We used a lot, I can coach them a little bit, so they'd get in a little spot that was sort of right, and I actually started the morning out drawing them diagrams on paper. It was really cool because I'd never coached any organized sport before, right? So I got these two kids and I'm drawing on just regular white paper with a Sharpie. Like scenarios, what to look for.
Dude, you need coach shorts for the next one.
Yeah.
Coach shorts.
Yeah, like Coach Phil Petit coach
shorts. Oh, yeah.
Like you need the coach
shorts. You're right,
dude.
I do.
The Rydell coach shorts.
Yeah, maybe a whistle, too.
How about being the kid that gets the draw to be on the boat with Mike?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's another kid that doesn't get the draw with Mike.
It was fun, though.
Awesome.
And Vegas had another good one. This one was a little tougher. He had seven keeper bites all day. He landed five. Of the seven keeper bites.
Okay.
So I got to watch him put in a limit that weighed about 12 and a half pounds.
Dang.
Wow. Man, that's awesome.
With
Good night.
Lunker of the tournament.
Oh,
not
my
just in his
God.
Division, but of the entire tournament. 4-5-4.
Dude, you gotta
really
have him start throwing a couple of these. He's gonna get to the point where he wins, and there's gonna be no one clapping. It's gonna be like his grandma.
Yeah.
Everyone's gonna be sitting watching him win. Dude.
Well, that's what Beck said, because I was like, he had one keeper early. Pete, he had about a 2.5-pound smallmouth early, and then that area kind of shut down. They made a decision. They wanted to try something else. They moved to a different spot, and on his first drop on this other spot, he hooks about a 4-pound smallmouth.
Oh, my God.
Way, way out there. It jumps like eye level,
oh,
and I'm like, oh God.
God.
I've got the net. I've got the net extended. The net's in the water. He gets it about halfway to the boat and makes a dive, and thunk, pops off. And I'm like, I just, I didn't say nothing. I just decompressed the net, put it down, but inside I'm thinking, fuck!
How close to the net was he?
Not close to the net, that one. So he's got one in the well, and then about 30 minutes later, he hooks another one. This one jumps eye level, and it's a 3-pound smallmouth. And this one, he gets to the boat, and I got the net out, and it's heading to the net, and it's, how they get on the top, and they're riding the top, sort of? He's not jumping, but he's just riding the top. And he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Poop. The hook pops out. So there, so he's got one fish in the well, and I want to harp on this because it is something I do not have. Dude, when that happened, I just fell. I fell on the deck. I fell down. I took my buff.
You broke his rod for him.
No,
right?
I fell completely down on the deck. Pete, like I just collapsed, right? I took the buff and I put it completely over my face so the kids couldn't see my face.
And hear your words.
And underneath of it, I'm just... I'm just like, and I pulled the buff down and looked at Vegas. And I watched, and he's looking at his hook. He's feeling the point a little bit. And he looks at the bait. He pulls the bait off. He puts the bait back on the hook, adjusts it, and opens the bail and makes another cast. Never says a word. And makes another cast, starts fishing. And I'm like, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable. And I know other anglers that have that, and he has it.
It's called evolution.
It's evolution. It's evolution from caveman, you know?
He talked about that during our interview when he was on the show.
He did it again.
I asked him that question, how do you keep your head together?
He did it again. Like, so, yeah, you know, like, think about that. Think about that, Pete. You've got one in the well. You lose a 4 and a 3, and you've got one in the well. I wouldn't handle that well.
I'd be going like David Mullins, at the tournament today.
Oh, did he have some heartbreak?
Oh my God, he had heartbreaks of monstrous proportions.
He was right there, man.
Giant 4.5 pound smallies, just coming unbuttoned on a crankbait. After what Vegas experienced, it was the first one he choked down. I think it was the second or third one. He came unglued.
You could feel the emotion like in his voice. Yeah. It was horrible.
Rightfully so. I mean, it's tough. Hard to recover
tough losing
from. Vegas has got the gift.
Yeah.
How cool is it to watch all that play out, man? Like,
it's great. It's great, but it's stressful. Like I was telling you, I had freaking iced coffee before I came up here to the show because I'm exhausted, not just from the two early mornings in a row, but from the stress of it. Yeah. I'm stressed out. Yeah. I can feel it. Yeah. And the hardest thing, Dave, is you know, like in a regular, you know, like a sporting event where you're coaching, you can, you know, direct them kids a little more. Here, I can only do certain things, you know? So, like, you know, I'm seeing fish on the – I'm sitting back there and seeing fish on the graph under the boat, and I'm like, look, you know, you want to be like, look, you know. And you know, I want to fish. I want to help, but I can't. So I'm stuck sitting there, and I don't know, man. I'm stressed out. You know, I can feel it. And every time these kids hook up, Alex hooked up with a 4-4 smallmouth.
Oh.
And the thing jumped. I mean, literally eye level next to me. I'm at the net, and he's like, whoa. He jumps over the net this way. He's fighting. It comes back, jumps again eye level. This one I scooped out of the air like a net. I scooped him out of the air. But
That's awesome, Alex.
Every time the stress is so intense.
Yeah. How did he do?
He did good. He came in third in his age group, right? Wow. So I think seven kids in that division, and he took third with two fish. You know, and that big one was the key for him. You know?
Yeah.
Did he yell at you and treat you like dirt on the first time you missed a fish? Or not?
No. He was the nicest kid in the world.
Yeah, talk about that, Dave.
What? No, just wandering.
Yeah. But it was great. It was a great experience to see Vegas win his second tournament this year. So
come on, man.
Shout out to Vegas the Hammer.
That's all I said, right?
Yeah. Shout out to Vegas the Hammer. It was pretty awesome. I think, Brian, let's get it going.
We got him.
I want to get it going. And if you're watching tonight, what a special guest we have joining us right now. This is really something that just happened. Shout out to Brian and Carpenter for making this happen. But if you're watching right now, we've got a amazing guest joining us right now. literally, we've got to be – maybe we're not. I don't know. We're going to ask him here in a second. But we've got to be one of the first or second live podcasts that get Brandon on. Brandon's going to be on 30 over the course of the next 4 or 5 days. So it's nice to get him on here. Joining us now, the recent, when I say recent, I mean minutes ago, champion from Lake Champlain, Bass Elite champion, Brandon Pollinick, everybody. Brandon!
What's up?
How you doing?
Good. Just finishing my dinner.
Tapioca pudding? What is that?
No. It was Idahoan mashed potatoes, huh?
All right.
And some chicken. It was like a homemade KFC chicken bowl.
I love it. Nice. All right, Brandon, are you in your camper? Are you in a hotel? Are you in a house? What are you doing?
No, living the RV life.
Okay. RV life. All right. Most guys we get on right after they win, they're still in their tournament jersey, and their smile ear from ear. They're still shaking. You look pretty mellow for a big win here, man. What is this?
I am pretty mellow. It was weird. Today was just, like, you've won. You've had those days.
Yeah.
Today was just weird in the fact that the win was just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Like, I had such an incredible day of fishing.
Yeah.
I had so much fun, and I enjoyed it so much that it was like the win was awesome.
Yeah.
But that was almost not the most awesome part of my day.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. And I think after going 2 weeks straight, literally fishing 14 days straight now.
Yeah.
Getting up at 5, going dark to dark. I'm just relaxed.
Yeah, you're ready. You're ready.
You get all the build up all day long and all of that kind of stress. And I didn't feel stressed on the water, but you have that mental stress and everything weighing on you. And then once it happens, and it's like, oof, like everything just releases.
Yeah, and here's the other story. You're coming off now two back-to-back cut finishes, back-to-back top tens. Yeah. And I'm looking at the AOI standings, man. You're slowly creeping up in the AOI standings.
It's early in the year, but I really screwed myself at Eufaula. I've had three good events. Eufaula was just a tough one, but there's so much flip-flops in the standings right now because we're still early in the season.
Yeah.
Like, we're only four events in.
Yeah.
So, these 2 weeks were really crucial to kind of get that ball rolling in the right direction.
Yeah.
St. Clair, hopefully, will be another good event. And then the fall is going to be really kind of a crapshoot.
Right.
Because I've never fished in the South in the fall. And then it's just so much more junk fishing.
Yeah.
Type of stuff, you know, where it takes a lot of that, I guess, home field advantage type stuff and things like that kind of out of play, I feel like.
Yeah.
In a lot of situations.
Yeah. All right. Now, we definitely want to talk to you here in a second. I know Pete's got a lot of questions for you on the technical side of what went down today, and I want to hear about that as well. But talk to me a little bit about holding that blue trophy up, because I want to hear it from you. It's special. I know it's special.
It is.
You know, you've held other trophies. I've held other trophies, right? You know, we've both won in other leagues. But you know, I watched the weigh-in today. It was the only thing I caught because I was at Vegas's deal. But I got to watch the weigh-in. I got to watch you hoist that thing. Talk about that feeling a little bit. You know, coming back to fish bass from MLF, and now you're re-hoisting that blue trophy. Talk to me about that.
You think that you would get immune to it, like that feeling, I guess, kind of. But every time I get in that position, I get choked up. And I don't know if it's like the nostalgia of it or like there's truly something special when you look at that trophy and it becomes yours. Like, when you can say, yeah, I'm an elite series champion, it holds something.
Yeah.
And it means something. And that emotion is real.
Yeah.
You know? And I actually try to fight it, and I can't. It just comes out. I've gotten better at, like, controlling it, I guess.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up a little quicker. But it's something that you don't have the control over. And I don't know exactly what causes that.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate that we still can't have those big crowds and everything.
Yeah.
Because, like, I will forever remember Philly when you won. That was, like, one of the most brutal fishing tournaments. And it's in, like, the least fishing part of the world.
Yeah.
But it was honestly probably the coolest weigh-in I've ever been to in my life. Like, just the setup of it, you know, like on the water, you got the backdrop. backdrop there, and then the city, and it's kind of that Coliseum stadium.
Yeah, it's like an amphitheater.
Yeah, like that moment, and then everyone was chanting your name. Like, that kind of stuff is what makes it so special.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that every time moments like that happen, it just kind of compounds and makes those blue trophies that much more.
Yeah.
That much more of a big deal. And I think the longer you do it, the more you understand how hard it is to actually win.
Yeah. It's hard to win.
When I won my first one, it was cool because it was my first one and I'd only been on tour 2 years. But the longer you do it, the more you realize that it's a special thing. Like, everything can go right and you can make all the good right decisions and still get beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, up in the Adirondacks, it's different. Like, it's New York, but they're different people. They're all standing around there with golden retrievers with scarves around their necks watching the weigh-in.
There were still people, in the distance. We still had some people in the distance, but not like we normally would.
And, yeah.
You know, not because of their choice, but just because of everything that's going on. So
Yeah.
It was a cool event, and this is the first one. I didn't even realize this till Tiff said something this evening, but this is actually the first win that I came back, like, from the back of the pack.
Right.
Wow. All the other ones I've led going into the final day that I've won. So that part of it was cool, too. You know, I think it's just all that's sinking in still.
Yeah, it's hard to win any tournament, but to win, you know, at the top level is very difficult. And you got another blue trophy, which is unbelievable. I know... I want you to talk about this side of it too. You know, the Elite Trophy means a lot, has a lot of meaning, probably more than other trophies. But is it different? And I need you to really honestly address this for me, Brandon. Is it different? Is this one different because of that name factor? You know, the last blue trophy you won, you had a hundred of the biggest names in the sport. Now you've got 80 or 90. Probably the same caliber of skill. I'm not taking nothing away from any of those guys. They're all talented. But they're not necessarily the biggest names in the sport. Does that make this win any different, or is it the same?
No. For me, the feeling was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Because that feeling comes from the moments that happen throughout the week, and then they're amplified by the moments that have happened in your life getting you to that point.
Yeah.
You know, that's where all that emotion comes from. It doesn't just come from that one week. It comes from everything in your life that you built up working to that point.
Yeah.
And no matter how many you win, that's still, like, I still get that same feeling.
Because you competed against the fish, right? Like, you're always,
yeah,
you
I don't know.
And the fish and to win. It didn't matter who was fishing behind you. Yeah. Like, you figured out the deal.
Yeah.
100%. Like, it just wasn't. Not once this year have I felt like I was fishing against a group of guys that were lesser fishermen. Like, you still had to go catch them. And if you look at the weights are still equally as good as they were before at the same bodies of water, right? It still takes around 17 pounds. You know, the first day was 17. I don't remember what it fell to a little bit, but it's like weights are about the same. Like, That hasn't affected me. You know, I think the first ones were really cool because I was fishing against the guys like yourself and stuff that I had grown up idolizing and watching. And then there's not as many of you guys that I'm competing against now. So that part of it's different. But the true emotion and feeling of it was no less than any of the first three.
Can I ask
a question, Mike?
Yeah, go, Pete.
The Brandon, and congrats, man. It was so much fun watching. You know, but you went through a bunch of decisions. Like, you made massive decisions in your career to get back here. It's got to be gratifying.
Yeah.
A sense, you know, winning this tournament. That do you feel that way? Like, you're at home. This is where you should be.
Yeah, I think I already felt that way before. It's just more of like a solidifying thing. And it's not like, oh, I won it. Yeah, this is where I should be. It's the feeling that I get when I'm out there competing. And then
when you win is what that to me is what makes it feel right. You know, and that's what I felt like I had lacked a little bit before. And so coming back to get that kind of emotion, like if you watched live at all today, like you just saw how much fun I had on the water. Yeah. And that to me is like, I just thoroughly enjoyed my day on the water.
You were giggly.
I was a little giggling like a little schoolgirl, I guess, while reeling in 4.5 pounders because it was like every rock I moved over to, I caught one bigger and I would catch one. I'm like, oh, that's my biggest one of the day. And then the next time I set the hook, it would be bigger than that one. And it was just amazing.
Wow.
I was thinking you might have regrets when the wind started blowing at 15 miles an hour and you had to get around Cumberland Head to get back to the weigh-in. Thinking, yeah, boy, it was pretty cool over at the MLF when we got the trailer to play.
I won't lie. That's a pretty solid part of that program. It's like, hey, Tiff, I'm at the other end of the lake. You want to come pick me up at the ramp down at the other end?
Yeah, but I'll jump.
That also takes away. Yeah, it takes away from some of it. Like I pushed it. I was at the gut with 18 minutes left.
Oh.
And had to run across there, and it was intense.
That's awesome.
It was intense.
Seth lost grafts on the way back to the ramp.
Did Seth lose the grafts?
Yeah, lost both the grafts off the front of his boat.
Wow.
Literally ripped him right off both of them.
That scuba diver's out there right now looking for him.
It went from like almost being flat calm to like, oh, hey, we should start working our way back. And on our way back, it went from like a 3 to 5 mile an hour wind to a 15 to 20 mile an hour wind. Like as we were on our way back, and it just instantly built into this gauntlet of waves. I mean, you guys came around there. There's nothing you can do. I mean, it's blowing 60 miles down the pipe.
Yeah. I want to say something real quick, and then we're going to hand it over to Riz. Got a lot of questions coming through. You guys mentioned Pete and Brandon. You mentioned, you know, joking about the MLF thing. I gotta be honest with you, though, and tell you that.
Yeah, actually, I want to hear your opinion.
Yeah, my opinion on that is, from a safety standpoint, for sure, I get, you know, I understand why MLF has that.
Yeah.
But, Brandon, that last tournament I fished up on Sturgeon Bay, it didn't feel right, you know, trailering to a ramp, getting to take out and drive to another one. Like, for me, part of the tournament fishing is that pressure that you just talked about, right?
First reward.
Yeah. It's like... Right. You know, that strategy of that big run in the morning or that short run in the morning, calculating, you know, can I get there? Can I make it back? That, to me, is a part of tournament fishing that's missing from that other format, you know?
Yeah.
Safety aside, I didn't like it. It felt weird. It felt very strange to me.
Yeah,
you know?
And I absolutely get that. I think that's something that the anglers, you don't pick that up so much as a spectator.
Right.
Right.
But you guys definitely feel it.
Yeah, you feel it. I mean, you know, Brandon, that 18 minutes to make it back, you know? Like, that's
not enough time.
It's not enough time. And that is when it's not enough time. And that's when you feel the most alive. You know what I mean? It's like they're the moments in fishing, in tournament fishing, why you do it. You know, and I've had some of them, Brandon, in my career too, where you just make it back or you know, whatever, and it's like, man, that's when you feel alive.
Right? Am I gonna get win or am I gonna get dead?
Right. Right.
Yeah. I was like, I know I have a shot to win today. I'm an idiot. I kept fishing, trying to catch even more. Like I'm out there throwing my glide bait around, thinking I'm gonna catch a 6-pound largemouth. And I come around out of the gut, and I'm like, oh, that was an absolutely terrible decision. And I just looked at my camera guy, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm going to owe you a chiropractor appointment. This is going to be bad.
Oh, man.
Because I had to calculate. I'm like, if I can, I have to do it at least a minimum of 30 miles an hour average
to
get back. And I'm like, yep, 30 miles an hour in 5 and 6 footers.
Oh, God. Not good.
How much time did you have to spare?
I actually had like two and a half minutes.
Wow.
When I got back, but I mean, I pushed it hard going across, and then once I got around the point, it's easy to just run the troughs. Yeah. But getting to Cumberland Head Point was sporty.
Man, that's a scary thing. Let me remind everybody watching, if you've got questions or comments for anything you hear in tonight's show, if you've got questions or comments for Brandon, please hit us up on the IM. Riz, I know you've got a boatload of questions coming in for Brandon. What do you got?
For sure. Tin Cup on the message board. Big shout out to Tin Cup.
Yeah.
Shout out Tin Cup.
We're enjoying it already. He wants to know, Brandon, what was the water temperature that you had up north? And also, how did you come up with a game plan dealing with the low water?
Oh, two good ones.
I honestly don't even remember what the water temperature was. Nice. It's like mid-70s. You know, it kind of ranged, I would say, from like 74 to 79, kind of where, depending on where you're at on the lake. And normally in the past, I've fished up towards like Rausch's Point area, very well known part of the lake. And for me, I just, where I normally like to fish up there, like the grass didn't feel right. The water being low, I don't know if that had something to do with it or all the hot weather they've had. But the fish I was catching over there just didn't seem healthy enough for me. And so in my mind with the low water and everything, and I don't know if I just felt more comfortable coming off of St. Lawrence, you know, fishing deeper stuff. I thought, well, I'm going to just start going and looking deep. And I've started looking everywhere from 20 to 50, even looked out in 60 sometimes, like just trying to find something, you know, something different where maybe these fish would go. And I started to dial it in. I got on like kind of just one big deep flat and I just followed these contours with my Mega 360 and it started clicking in my mind that I could literally look at my map. And by the third day of practice, I was hardly even making a cast on a place, or I would drop on them in the seat so no one saw me fishing while I was fishing. But I would literally just drive, idle over a spot, mark them, mark the key little areas on that spot, and then just keep driving. And so I had, it was actually partly an issue. I had so much water that I could fish that I felt like I could catch a 3.5+ pound smallmouth. That I had to actually force myself to slow down and not try to fish all of it in one day.
Wow.
But it was just one of those practices where it, you know, about halfway through the second day of practice, it started to click and I was able to, no joke, look at my map, say, I'm going to go idle that spot. You'd shut down, idle over it, bloop, 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 couple smallmouth dots and you'd mark it. Mark a couple of boulders or the rocks, and then, you know, I tried to, like, mark where the fish were, and then I would mark little key pieces of structure that I thought those fish might move to if the conditions changed and things like that.
Wow.
And that really played because I was able to fish different parts of that throughout the week.
How many boulders, rocks, do you think you had marked, Brandon?
Probably 50 or 60.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's levels to this, kids.
Yeah. If you put that on eBay right now, you'd make a little bit of money, Brandon.
Yep. It's insane. I didn't realize how big there's some massive boulders out there.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize they had them like that, but they're like almost, you know, half the size of a bass boat or something.
Yeah, 16-foot boulders.
Slab town. What else you got,
Riz?
They
had a couple shots of your 360 that were amazing on the show that, you know, where you were sitting and you could see those boulders, giant boulders all around you.
Yeah, and that probably wasn't even the greatest shot. Like, those were some shorter ones just kind of out on the end of that point, I think, when he shot them. But it was, like, that was just such a key to be able to be efficient, right? Go from one to the next and know where your cast had to be.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah,
Brandon, it was crazy watching you giggle as you were catching those fish. That was pretty awesome. What do you got, Riz?
One of my favorite ways.
Brandon, Chase in Oklahoma wants to know, how do you feel about being on ESPN2 for back-to-back weekends in the Bassmaster Elite Series? Talk a little bit about, you know, what you think that's going to do for the sport and ways that you can really utilize that to help grow it.
That's awesome.
That's as big as it gets right there. In the sports world, like ESPN2, and not just – like Bass has been on ESPN2 since the Elite started – maybe even before that, I don't know exactly, but they were just the shows, right? They were the edited shows.
Yeah.
And they would be at weird times sometimes, or they would get like pushed out because there was a softball tournament or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so cool, the Black Widow.
to have it aired live and have millions of people, I mean, you follow, we had 2.8 million viewers.
Wow.
And then I know these last couple weeks, I'm pretty sure we're even better. And so that's incredible, right? That's good for everybody in this industry. And I know that because you get text messages and emails and things from people that do not follow fishing that are like, hey, saw you on ESPN, or like,
yeah,
Tiff gets messages. She was saying today that people she went to high school with that have never, don't know anything about fishing, saw it on TV and messenger. And that just brings another level of exposure, right? When it's live versus when it's just a recorded show, people just flipping through the channels and it's there.
Yeah.
And it's there for hours and hours.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's good for the sponsors too, right? You know, because 100%. Like an edited show, some of that stuff will be cut out. You know, I know a lot of times you'll say, you know, give a sponsor a key plug, and it doesn't make the edited show.
But, oh, my goodness, yeah. How dare they?
Dude, but it's live, right? It's like,
yeah.
Enjoy while it lasts, because when COVID ends, we're going to bump us for shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard.
I say enjoy it while it lasts, because when this COVID gets cured, yeah, they're gonna bump us back out for trick pool shots.
I mean, maybe, but if I would think that if it continues to build and grow and they get good feedback,
yeah,
that they would want to keep it on.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, or find a place for it to promote it.
Yeah,
and so who knows? I mean,
I hope it stays. I hope it stays. I'm enjoying it back on ESPN. I like it a lot.
The fact that we had one event and they came back and said, hey, we want three.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be Cayuga, St. Lawrence, and Champlain, and we just happened to have to postpone Cayuga.
Yeah.
So curious to see what the rest of the year.
Right. Why not try to keep it going and grow it as much as possible?
I hope it keeps going.
Put the wood on the floor.
I like it a lot. I hope it keeps going.
Yep.
Same.
Riz, what else you got? You got anything else coming?
Yeah. Brandon, when did you start tournament fishing? And talk a little bit about how you got your start and, you know, got involved in the sport.
I was 8 years old when I started fishing my first tournaments. It was a family friend that took me out. So my mom was always into the outdoors and my family was. And so they'd always taken me fishing and stuff, but they didn't know anything about tournament fishing. Or, you know, when we went fishing, we weren't targeting a specific species. We were just fishing. And then we had a family friend that he had an old Skeeter fish tournaments. And he took me out the first time on a bass boat. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the entire world. And learned that there was such a thing as bass tournaments. And you could make a living catching bass and doing that. And instantly I was hooked. And so I started fishing just some local club tournaments and stuff with him, and then just continued to progress. When I was 16, I started fishing the Bass Federation, which is now called the Bass Nation, and just worked my way up through that. Spent 7 years fishing in that until I won the national championship, qualified for my first classic in the elites, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, that is rad. Brandon, I've got the same thing I'm doing with Vegas right now. Vegas actually started last year. He was 8. He's 9 this year. Sometimes, you know, you get so wrapped into it, you forget about things you should be doing, right? Because I'm his dad. and I'm hardcore. You have any advice for me with him? Because seriously, I want to hear it from you because, you know.
He's trying not to create a Chaz Michael Michaels.
I mean, he's, dude, he's he's really, really, really good.
Macaulay Culkin.
But I, at the same time, I don't want to press him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what? I think that's the biggest thing is letting him evolve into like the type of angler that he's going to be.
Right.
Because he may have a different style of fishing than what you do.
Like, yeah.
He may be the 3-4 rods on the deck type of guy, not 30 or 40 strapped down, has to, you know, double up your rod buckles to get him to strap down.
Right.
Like you do.
Yeah.
So he might have to, like, that would be my biggest thing is like just letting him evolve into whatever type of angler he's going to be. Obviously, he's already being successful. So the biggest thing is just keeping him humble on that, yeah. I guess.
It's like the Iaconellis are like the Mannings of fishing. Like there's Eli, you know, there was Archie Manning, and then and then he bred and you know made the greatest of all time.
Spawned,
Peyton, you know what I mean, dude? Yeah,
yeah. The spawn of Archie.
I think the biggest thing would be like making sure that he earns his way.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Like not just because he's your son and you've had a incredible amount of success, but like truly earning it, and that's for him,
yeah,
because he'll appreciate it much more in the long run,
yeah,
and it'll pay dividends a lot more.
Yeah, I think you're right. And like last year I watched him, his championship event last year on Merrill Creek, he zeroed, and it was the hardest thing to watch, you know. It was gut-wrenching to watch him work to the very end and not catch a keeper to weigh. But, you know, after it was all said and done and I got back and I was sad for him, you know, and he's got a different attitude. But I got back and talked to Becky about it. She was like, it's the best thing that could happen, you know, because it's the reality of fishing, you know, and he's got to learn that that's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Learn how to deal with disappointment.
Yeah. A lot of disappointment in this sport, you know.
Sure. Brandon, I got a question.
Yeah.
Is this the first time you've ever been asked for parental advice?
Probably.
Okay.
Considering the fact that I don't have any kids.
No, but Mike wants to know if you did, how you raise them.
I mean, you probably got a Chihuahua you did a good job with, right?
I got a blackmouth cur.
All right.
She's made it to like 5 years old. She's doing pretty good.
I'm sure you did a good job with the goldfish in Coeur d'Alene, right?
Yeah, you know, maybe come bass food. All the goldfish I have.
Good move.
Bass.
Mike attempted to take down Jim Miller from the UFC last week.
That didn't work.
Oh,
really
goodness.
I thought
how well did that work?
I thought you'd be a great person to give him some takedown advice.
Yeah, not very good. Oh. You would have did a lot better, Brandon.
I think you could snatch him, Brandon.
I was a scrub.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd even want to try.
You're a state champion, dude.
Yeah, I know. But he's on a different level.
In New Jersey.
I got to mention this real quick. We got a really good friend of all of ours, a friend of the show, Mark Zona, a.k.a. Z, just texted me. And this was for the advice for getting your sons involved in fishing.
Uh-huh.
And he said, don't go all Bobby Knight on them like I do to this day with Hunter and Jacob, his sons, when they do bad. You're right. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing.
You lose sleep over that.
Yeah,
shit,
you
dude.
Do lose sleep over it. And that, I mean, you know, we're from Jersey. Like, the instinct is to yell and scream and curse me. It's tough, man.
Oh, dude, I cursed my head off when Mullins lost those fish.
Yeah.
And he's, well, you didn't say it, but he's just like, no. And I'm like, and I was putting myself in that position. I'm like, that would not have been the word I used. I could never be on that boat with a camera on me.
You would have slurred a higher power.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have.
Yeah.
I'd have offered a fight.
Well, this is one of the other great things with COVID is now we're all wearing these buffs. And you could also use them as curse hiders, you know?
Gag balls.
Yeah, gag balls, your frustration. You just hide it. It's good stuff. Brandon, I need to know, and excuse me for being ignorant, because I was with Vegas today in this tournament. Give me a rundown of the bait that you fished today, the exact bait and all that, because I didn't get to see it go down today. What was the deal?
Pretty much everything I caught this week was on a X-Zone Finesse Slammer. and I rotated through colors. Like really the first 2 days I caught them the best on a color called Big Limit. It kind of has a purple, pinkish, like pearlescent hue on the bottom, and then has kind of that like Houdini type color on top.
Yeah.
So imitates kind of a little bit of everything. And then really the last 2 days, day three and day four today, I caught pretty much every single fish on green pumpkin and blue fleck. And there was like a noticeable difference when I would drop it on them, how quickly they would eat it. You know, I could eventually get them to eat both, but it definitely seemed like depending on the day,
yeah,
they would eat one better than the other.
Wow.
And I'm usually not like a big color guy.
Yeah.
You know, but I think those two were a big enough difference, right? You know, the green pumpkin's a lot darker of a hue versus kind of the lighter Big Limit color.
What were you imitating? What are these fish actually eating, you think, down there?
They're eating everything. I had a lot of them spit up like actually big perch, like 5-6 inch perch.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, they're good sized perch, and then a lot of them were spitting up those little owl wives too. They look like little mirrors everywhere. But it was crazy. Like I didn't have a camera. I know Carl drove around and checked some stuff with a camera during practice.
Yeah.
And he said it was like an aquarium down there. Like there's drum. I caught more sunfish the size of like the palm of my hand size this week than I've ever caught in my entire life.
In that same depth zone.
Out there drop shotting, like 20 to 40 foot, like around those boulders. And you would catch, you know, smallmouth this big, and then your next drop, you'd catch a 4-pounder.
Wow.
And so, I caught perch, white bass, sunfish, smallmouth, largemouth, walleye, drum. I caught pike. I dropped on 2 pike today. I mean, just the amount of fish on those places was insane.
But
it had to do with the bait a lot.
Yeah. Now with the technology, you know, you guys are using these depth finders, the hummingbird stuff, so awesome. Did you get to see Champ at all in the Inland Sea this week?
I never did see Champ.
No Champ.
I think he was out there a little past my depth zone. Yeah, he was a little further out off the break.
Brandon, you know, when are you getting on the road to leave?
I don't know.
So, dude, listen. There's a pizza parlor downtown in Plattsburgh. Man, like if you're coming from, like, where are you staying at? Like, where are you staying at now?
Well, I'm not going to tell you on live.
All the stalkers are going to come in.
So if you're coming down from like the Port Roach, however you pronounce that.
Port Roach.
If you're coming down from Port Roach, like as you enter the town, on the right side, there's an old pizza parlor from New York. old New York Italians that retired from New York. It's the best pizza on planet Earth in upstate New York.
Really? Upstate.
It's good info.
That's great.
It's across from the furniture store and the painting gallery.
That's right.
There's like a paint, like a paint store where they paint.
Yeah, Kyle that does all my filming, he says he ran by it this week.
Wow. So. Amazing. There you go. That's a good tip,
Kyle. Get out there and get some pizza.
Get some pizza.
Yeah. Are you going to go back out on the lake tomorrow and continue to jack them?
No, I'm probably going to sleep in. I haven't slept past like 5 o'clock in 2 weeks, so I could use like a good 7 o'clock day.
That's awesome.
7 o'clock day would be good. Brandon, I want to switch it up here real quick and put you on the spot and ask you for a prediction. With everything that's gone on this year, of course, with COVID, it's been a tough year in the industry. It's been a tough year for the tournament circuits. The different organizations handle it differently, of course. And I just want to know how many MLF anglers do you think will attempt to come back to bass next year? You think you're going to have another group that comes over or attempts to come back?
I think it depends on what next year looks like.
Right.
I think it depends on what the format looks like, our contract still good or not good. Like, right. I think the decisions that are made between now and the end of this fall of what 2021 looks like as far as formats and like how many tournaments there's going to be, just all the things that go into tournament fishing, what that format looks like, will determine how many, if any, there will be.
Right.
Right. I mean, and that's the, it's not like that number could be anywhere from 40 to zero. I mean, it just, or it could be even more than that. I don't, it just depends on the decisions they make of how to run it, I think.
Right. Do you think that number will be bigger the following year when technically from a legal standpoint, the 3-year contract ends? You think there'll be a bigger exodus?
I don't know. I honestly think like all of that, the amount of guys that will leave or stay or go one way or the other will literally just determine on the decision processes that are made, right? Like, do the anglers feel like decisions are being made in their best interest or not?
Right.
And does it fit what they want to do as an angler?
Right.
And then, you know, and then those guys will each have to make their own personal decisions based on that. I mean, you'll most likely you'll just have a mixture, would be my guess.
Right.
You know, you have some guys fishing the PFL, the FLW, MLF things, super tournaments, and some guys trying to fish the elites and opens, and just be a mix.
Too many acronyms in this sport. PFL, MLF, MILF, Bass, PUSSY.
You missed the days of just Bass and FLW.
I know.
Why?
Simple.
Well, there's that fine line between having a lot of circuits to let a lot of people, you know, try to enter the sport professionally, and it becomes too much.
Watered down. Fraud, you know, fugazi.
Spread out, you know.
I mean, it became like the ACCO Raceway. People are bringing pintos out there with slicks.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, it depends what the pinto had under
like
the hood.
Like a 79
though.
Second, you know, yep. Dash.
You know? Mom's Datsun.
Yeah.
Semi-little pinto. All right, Brandon. So, but we're going to let you go here in a second. Before we let you go, though, you are in the thick of it for AOY. Is that something that's going to be on your mind? There's been not that many dudes walking the face of the earth that have multiple AOYs. Is it something you're thinking about already, or are you just going to go out and fishing? Or,
I mean, it's on my mind, but I do my best to not let that alter my decision making process on the water.
Yeah.
Or during practice, because I feel like the instant that you start worrying about that and fishing safe to try to cash checks, you will get burned.
Right.
And you will miss checks. You'll miss more checks trying to cash checks and fish for checks than you will actually catch. And I've always felt that way. I don't look at the AOY points. I mean, obviously I can have a general idea.
Yeah.
Had 3 good tournaments and 1 bad one. So I know it's okay. But I never, like, even all the way up to when I won AOY, I knew that I was leading, but I had no idea what the point split was. I mean, as far as I was concerned, it was a 1-point lead.
Yeah.
And that keeps that decision making process in the right place where I'm trying to literally catch as much weight as I can every single day.
Yeah.
Versus just trying to cut a check. And that's because if you're trying to cut checks, you don't win blue trophies.
No.
That's the only way there is to say it. And I mean, if you want to talk financials, you can cut a check in every single event and win 80 grand, or you can win one and win 100 grand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the math is pretty easy on it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Riz, we got anything else for Brandon? We're going to let Brandon go and enjoy his victory. What else you got?
While Riz is chewing real quick, Brandon, when you're going back home again, down 87 South, get off exit 21 at Lake George and hit Adirondack Brewing. There's not a beer you'll be disappointed with or a burger.
Brewing.
Adirondack Brewing. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. I want to go there right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going home till Thanksgiving, but that might be on my route.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Road warrior.
Yeah.
Are you really not going home till Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Holy hell. That's crazy.
55 hours to drive from here to my house.
55?
That's crazy.
Yeah. 55 hours, and it's four turns.
I mean, let's be real.
Wow.
You got enough bank, 55 dude. You could move to Alabama by now. You know what I mean? You don't have to.
I don't want to.
I hear that.
Ooh, why not?
They shoot people's trucks.
They be shooting.
I mean,
Brandon, why don't you move to Gunnersville? I heard Boyd's got some places for sale there.
Yeah, probably does. I just don't want to be that immersed into the fishing world.
I love it.
Like, I like to go home and get away from everybody.
I hear
right.
that. Good for you.
And Alter Bridge didn't make a song called Alabama, but they did make a song called Quarter Lane.
That's true.
Damn.
That's true.
I didn't know.
How much stuff did you? How much knowledge did you purge out of your brain to put up all these? You just keep spitting these things out tonight. These random things about. It's impressive.
It's a lot of time in a UPS truck.
It's impressive. I'm
it is because sometimes I'll get to a place and I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. I can see I'm like washing somebody over. I watched their face just change.
Oh my God.
Dude, random useless information.
That's awesome. I do. I just drown them.
Riz, what do you got?
All right, last question from the message board. It actually comes from Dave's Overgrown Flower Garden.
Wow. Oh, they're fighting words.
Dave's Overgrown Flower Garden wants to know, at what point did you run into conflict with your cameraman on the way back? Did he ask you to slow down or seek shelter at any point in the ride in?
No, I was so thankful. I had Jake. I'm probably butchering his last name.
Jake from State Farm?
Definitely not Jake. Jake from State Farm would have probably just had some insurance lawsuit on me. Jake, I've had him in the boat before, but he is all about it. Like, he's just as pumped up as I am when I was catching him.
And, oh, yeah.
When I looked at him, he's like, just go. It's like, it's part of it. Just
yeah,
go,
they're not the
done.
Litigation types, those guys. They're warriors.
Yeah, you know, those guys are all about it. But, man, I did feel bad because he didn't have a console and they're hitting his side. Like,
shout out to those camera guys, by the way, man.
Those guys are tough.
Dude, they really – I mean, I've been in the boat with you, Mike, before, and I literally have to, like – I gotta like brace myself, hand under the nuts. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine like having to go through that with camera gear and everything else. It's
Mike could get a make a wish him. Kid with a halo, and he's gonna punch it on it and go full red line.
That's not full true. I wouldn't do that.
If it was a tournament,
I'd probably do it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He better have a helmet halo because you're gonna.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Crazy. Off the rails.
Shout out to all the camera guys. They do go through a lot of shit. It's pretty
amazing.
It's pretty unbelievable.
One more thing.
Yeah,
one more thing on the message board. Brian's smoking hot wife wants to know how much longer is it until elk season, and are you looking forward to it?
Ah, that's a good one.
That's a great question, but my elk season is pretty much going to be non-existent this year.
Because of the tournament schedule.
Yeah, thanks to this COVID. So I'm fishing both Open Series and the Elites. So later this fall, I have 7 weeks straight.
Nice.
Wow.
Right on.
God dang.
I love that, man. Yeah. That's bad to the bone, Brandon.
Hell yeah.
You've won. You got seven. A freaking fat bank account, and you're still just grinding, going hard.
You love it. Like, Brandon, you love it. You're passionate about it, man.
I'm trying to picture what I'm looking at here, Brandon. Your camper that you're in, is it like a Meet the Fockers kind of camper that you drive, or are you dragging it behind the fifth wheel? What do you got?
Meet the Fockers.
I don't know what the difference is called. I just know
it's not very clean right now. Look, here's the crew.
Cribs.
If I can tilt it.
What up, crew?
What up?
Got with the trophy. Look at that.
Kyle and Tiff and the
Tiff,
trophy.
Tiff, what's up?
Can I see Kyle's mustache? Go back.
What?
Can I see Kyle's mustache?
That's beauty.
Oh, that's legit.
That's gorgeous.
Wow. Gorgeous. The French goatee.
I love it.
Pretty nice stuff.
A wee wee.
Yeah. And then we've got like our little, this is like our media.
Oh,
little
looks like a snap on.
We got our camera.
That's
gear
better than the entire Ike Live studio right there.
It is.
Yeah. And then let's see.
Yeah.
We've got the kitchen.
Nice.
Man, kitchen style. All
right. This is not camping. This is glamping.
This is where, Ike, you got your campers the same size. Come on. That's where Kyle sleeps.
Goddamn, you put him in the attic. Jesus Christ, that thing looks like it's palatial. You put him in a
crawl space. This is honestly why I started camping.
right here. This is all elk meat.
Nice.
Right on.
So that's why I started camping, is because I wanted to be able to pack
air seal
all the meat.
My camper would be all Chesapeake Bay catfish.
Got a bathroom and a bedroom.
Look at that.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, being not, she can't hear me,
not
can
like,
she can make the bed for crying out loud.
I'm sure the bed was made and messed it all up.
Got it.
That's typically what happens.
It's day four. It was not made.
Yeah.
You could have turned the volume down for me.
You know what, though? I got to tell you, though, for people watching right now and are watching this amazing camper, and it's amazing. Yeah. This is the way to travel. And Brandon, hardly. I know you know, but dude, when you're doing it full time like these guys do, Brandon, Tiffany, you know, on the road, you know, 11 months out of the year, dude, how nice is it, Brandon, to be in your own house as you're on the road? Is that it's the best, right?
It is literally the. It makes life on the road not life on the road.
Yeah.
Like it takes the grind part out of it. You're not living in a suitcase. You have your own things. You got your own bed. So from a competitive standpoint, I think it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because you have consistency. You can build routine.
Yeah.
It honestly just makes such a huge difference. Like even if we didn't have this, I would still travel. Like if Tiff quit traveling and wanted to stay home, I would travel in a cab over camper, you know, a Lance or something like that. Like I would never go back to the hotel, you know, rental house type stuff, because it's just.
What about the Tundra Suites?
If I had to, I mean, I slept in the Tundra Suites. I don't think I did last year. 2 years ago, 2018, I did during practice at the St. Lawrence River.
What about the?
And I was going to this year too, but
would you do the Rick Klun cowhide tent with magic mushrooms every night?
Every night,
probably sleep not. And make it? Probably not. Okay. I don't need to become one with the earth.
Don't knock it.
But I do appreciate his approach.
Yeah,
there you go.
Got to get in tune. Pete, before we let Brandon go, did you have anything, Pete, for Brandon? From
you know, I got it. I'm going to ask this question because we talked about fishing, but I got to ask this question because this morning with the Bass U crew, we were texting and I'm like, the guy that dedicates this day to largemouth wins this tournament.
Yeah,
you got clouds, wind, rain, and historically the smallmouth on there and like other places. Up in that part of the country, when you get that cloudy, rainy weather, man, those big smallmouth become very, very difficult to catch. So you wind up with like 17 pounds, which doesn't win you the day. And nobody went for largemouth, and you did a little bit. You did a little bit in the morning. I saw you, but those smallmouth bit right through the clouds and the rain as if it was a sunny day.
Yeah, I honestly, all week, I was hoping for that weather. Mostly the wind, you know, the cloud cover, not as much. But my original plan today was to go smallmouth fishing, catch 17 or 18 pounds, and then go throw a glide bait for the last 2 or 3 hours. Because I thought the sun was going to come out, the wind was going to be there, and I could go throw it, and I was going to get 2 to 3 bites, and they were going to be the difference makers. And then this morning it started blowing, it got rainy, and I was still catching smallmouth. And then it like slicked off, and it was just kind of cloudy and slick. I was like, this is not, I'm not going to be able to go throw a swim bait. And I really don't have any other way that I feel like I can go largemouth fishing because I just didn't dedicate that much time to it.
Yeah.
So I just mixed it in a little bit here and there. And then I decided I'll just keep smallmouth fishing. And cause I hadn't got to that point like around 12 o'clock when I got on the really big school of them. I didn't feel like I was quite to that point where I was comfortable to go largemouth fishing. And then I hit that school and I was like, nah, no, largemouth deal's out.
Yeah.
We're just going to stick with smallmouth. Like,
now, I'm getting Mike, Pete, and Brandon, you know, obviously you guys are the best at this. How common is that up in Lake Champlain to not have a largemouth plan? and rely on smallmouth.
Yeah,
dude.
That's interesting. I like to have both. It's interesting to hear
how
it.
Common I'm saying from at your level.
Yeah, I mean, I would have fished it differently, and I wouldn't have won. You know, I'd like to have 50-50. I try to split.
Because they always
time.
Say you can't rely on smallmouth. Yet he did. I'm not second guessing. Yeah. But I mean, it throws that right out, right?
Yeah, Brandon, did you weigh a largemouth at all in 4 days?
I did, unfortunately, and it bothers me. Really, honestly, bothers me because I think I would have had enough weight without the largemouth to win and done it all on smallmouth. But I did. I actually yesterday I weighed 2 largemouth. I was smallmouth fishing a place, fishing out on the end of a pipe, and I had some big largemouth follow my swim bait up in the grass. And for whatever reason, I was pulling up to the end of that pipe, and I'm like, nah, I'm going to throw my Nico rig out there because then at least I got a chance at catching a largemouth or a smallmouth. If I throw my finesse slammer out there, like, my odds of catching a largemouth just aren't as good. They will bite it, but generally they like that Nico rig, a little bit bigger package. So I throw a muscle-backed fat finesse worm out there, and it hits the bottom of my line, starts swimming off, and I jack it, and it's like a 4.25 largemouth.
Dang.
Or 4-pounder. I'm like, holy cow. That was somewhat random, not completely. But then with 10 minutes left yesterday, I'm going through the gut. I'm like, nah, there's a nice little shade pocket right there from that tree. I pick up my glide bait, throw it out there first cast, catch one that's like almost 4 pounds. And I put it on my balance beam, and it was like dead nuts even with the smallmouth. And I put the largemouth in there just because I thought it was so cool that I caught it on the glide bait.
Token largemouth
on like,
the glide bait.
Throw people off.
That's great.
Like I had two smallmouth that were pretty much almost clones of those two largemouth. You know, they were just barely on the balance beam, a little bit smaller. And so I had two largemouth.
I gotta say, on those weights, Mike and all you guys, the smallmouth weights were huge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, there were 17 to up to 22 pounds of smallies weighed in every single day.
Yeah.
This tournament, and the gobies aren't there. I don't know what's changed, but the smallmouth, man, they got like a 1/4 pound bigger across the board. Yeah. For all the tournament guys, it was pretty amazing.
It was honestly like I don't even like saying this because it shouldn't be this way, but it was honestly almost easy to go catch 17 pounds.
Wow.
Like if you were on the right stuff, you couldn't just go do it anywhere. But like once I figured out what I wanted to look for and how those fish were positioning, it was like if you ran enough of those places, you were going to catch 17.
Yeah.
And I think that having that confidence in that helped a lot this week because I was never worried about like, oh man, am I going to cut a check? Like that never crossed my mind. I'm like, if I just keep doing this, like I'm going to catch enough to cut a check. It's just, am I going to be able to have the difference between 5 3.5 pounders and 5 4 pounders?
Yeah.
Or like that 1/2 pound difference on Champlain is a big gap.
Yeah.
It also helps when the enemy right behind you is dropping goji is on a crankbait left and right too.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He missed some tanks.
Hear about that. I haven't got to see any of the footage, but
it's painful.
It's you know, I mean, that's how tournament fishing is, you know. Yeah. When it's your time, you're going to win. When it's not, you don't, you know.
You made the right call, and Seth, who I think was the biggest threat because he had a strong largemouth pattern going where he caught a 6-6 this week. And he kept upgrading with smallmouth. He kept like catching a big one, catching another big one, and it kept him dialed and staying with the smallmouth. And I don't know how you make that decision to abandon him. You had to make that call that he made. But yeah, there was not a single person in the field that went for largemouth. And
I don't even know if one got weighed in today.
Crazy.
That is nuts.
Crazy. Wow. What the hell happened to Missisquoi Bay this tournament?
Yeah, that's a great question. Nobody made the cut from that area.
Why?
I don't know.
They weren't there.
Because Missisquoi Bay is phenomenal when the water's low.
I'm not sure. And, I mean, I know Seth fishes in there or has in the past. So I would think that, you know, he would have figured something out. And
so I was not sure. Did they address it, Brandon, at the meeting? Because you, in order to get there when the water's low, you got to go into Canada, like, for a moment.
Well, you have – yeah, we had to idle. Yeah, we couldn't cross into Canada. So to, like, get over into Goose Bay, you had to idle that flat because the water was low and it was too close to the shore, so it made it no wake, and you had to idle that flat to get across.
I don't even know if you could get across, I guess they said, but man, I've seen it where it's so low that you can't, man. You have to go into Canada because that sandbar comes out too far. You can't get over it.
Huh.
Yeah, unless that could have been the deal. Do you guys know John Cox ran all the way to Ticonderoga the first
day? Yeah, I heard that.
When he told me that, I was like, dude, you've got balls, John. I was like, I'm impressed. Even though you only caught, like, I don't remember what he had, 13 or 14. He was not very happy. But I was like, the fact that you ran all the way down there and it took you an hour and 40 minutes. And he's like, yeah, I ran all the way down there to fish 50 yards. And then when I fished through it, didn't have a bite, realized probably wasn't the right idea.
Oh my God,
man! Dude. Yeah, he's in a crest liner.
Only he could pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crest liner. He was back. My God, he ran Ty in a crest liner.
Yeah.
He had a camera boat with him. He was back like at 11 or 12 o'clock fishing back up north. So I think he fished for like 45 minutes and just got out of there and started heading back.
That's crazy.
Dang.
One last question for the message board, Brandon. Dave's Victory Garden wants to know if this tournament will be released on your YouTube channel.
Yes. Yeah. Both of them last week and this week. Well, the entire year will be. Yeah, it'll be out there.
And where can they find you? What's your YouTube channel? What's your social stuff? How can people watch this stuff?
Yeah. YouTube is BMP Fishing, so you can find it on there. Got all the events on there, and then just all my social handles are just Brandon Polinick. But if you go to my website, bmpfishing.com, you can pretty much find everything off there.
We got a lot of coverage on today, but you didn't get a tremendous amount in the previous 3 days. So did you have any meltdowns or anything crazy that happened in the first couple days that we're going to see on your channel?
I mean, like that swim bait fish, like... Yeah, I didn't have a camera day one or day three, so those will be pretty intense. Like, I caught 18 pounds the first day in the first hour, like, on my first spot.
Wow.
I mean, I'll say so, for you, like, Brandon, they're still smiting you for the initial defection you did. You're almost paid up.
Oh, yeah. Still working on it.
I don't know if that's true or not. Brandon, congrats, man. Great win. So happy for you, man. And rooting for you for AOI. I'd like to see you take a second AOI this year. Can't wait to watch the rest of the season, and I will be watching since MLF canceled all their tournaments. And I got nothing else left to do.
You got no choice.
You're going to be Coach Dad.
I'm going to be Coach Dad and watch Brandon. The two things I'm going to do the rest of the year. Since MLF canceled all our tournaments!
Stop screaming.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Brandon, thanks for coming on tonight on such short notice, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good job, champ.
Yeah, there you go. Thank Brandon Polinick, everybody.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah. Great job, champ. Buddy.
Thank you very much.
Great champ.
See you guys.
Brian, you don't like when I scream into the mic?
No, there's no reason.
No, because it's funny.
No.
Yeah, it's funny.
No, it's painful.
No, it's not. It's funny. That's why I did it.
I get it.
I know. It's just funny. All
right. Whatever. It's your show. You do
it's
what you
show,
want.
But I'll do what I want. Listen to me. Great interview right there, Brandon. That was a great call. Brandon Carpenter, that was a good one.
Yeah,
thank you for
Rich
doing
Rich actually
that.
Helped me
Rich,
out.
Rich, thanks
he,
for doing
he said,
that.
You gotta,
that was
you gotta,
a great call.
You got to get harass Tiffin. Well, I don't want to give up the secrets because all the others.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't give that away to the other podcast.
Yeah, all the other 80 Me Too podcast
yeah,
out
whatever.
There.
Whatever.
Jersey wearing.
Don't give them any advantages.
But yeah, thank you, Brandon.
It was great to hear from Brandon. That was an awesome interview. If you're watching, listen, we got another segment coming up, and this is going to be a good one, too. The Brandon one was kind of PG, Pete. Would you call that one PG? We learned a little bit. We heard some technique. Mm-hmm. It was very PG rated. But the next one, Dave, we're digging some dirt right here. Brian DeCarpenter, we got Ryan Salzman.
We got Ryan Salzman on. Salzman. Yeah, let me take this because you're just going
to
butcher it over there.
I just need to know how to say his name right.
Oh,
we'll
my
ask
God.
When he comes on.
Doesn't matter. You still screw it up.
Whatever.
So Ryan Salzman, he's a guide on Gunnersville in that area.
Yeah.
He's had a little bit of controversy. He's had he fishes the FLW Tour.
Right.
I think he's been fished 60 events. He fished the 2019 Forest Cup. Forestwood Cup, finished eighth. So the guy fishes.
He comes with accolade.
Yeah.
He fishes, he catches them, he guides down there, but he's also got some people that don't care for him, I guess.
Right.
He's had his truck keyed, he's had some incidents, and recently he had his truck all shat up. So,
wow.
I don't know, we're going to talk to Ryan. He's an interesting character.
All right. Well.
We interviewed him at the Classic.
He's also a military vet.
Military vet.
Yeah.
He's a captain in the guard.
Right. Yeah. All right. And this and that.
Looking forward to hearing from Ryan.
Lore designer.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if you're hanging in there with us, just give us a second. We're going to take a little break. Brian DeCarpenter, when we come back, we're going to talk to Ryan.
Right. We're going to drink some more whiskey.
We're going to drink some more whiskey.
Like and share it on Facebook, guys.
Yes.
Like and share this feed.
Yep. We have an MTB box to unbox. And then what else we got? We're going to be giving away some prizes, right?
Yes.
There you go. All right. Hang in there with us when we come back. More Ike Live.
4.5-inch drop shot worm.
Salmon.
Gamma bug.
Almond.
Finesse jig, PB&J. Give me something hard. Hey, KVD here. I didn't always know this much about fishing. 4-0 EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerk bait and a stick bait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about calculus.
And he knows a lot about calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras, like free fishing magazines. October 2016. Featured article, 4 places to throw a frog. Exclusive decals. Zombie bass. And how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Ooh, live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy. Oh, is he in my pocket?
There's a special place in our hearts for the tools of the trade. They're what we prep for a good day on the water. They're what we clean after a good day in the field. Flambeau's patented Z-Rust technology protects the gear of today from rust and corrosion. Z-Rust, for the performance of tomorrow. Preserve. Perform. Repeat.
You work hard to catch your fish. TH Marine has two products to ensure your fish survive. The oxygenator injects 100% pure oxygen into your live well. That increases fish survival by 35%. For the perfect combo, add G-Juice live well treatment. It calms fish, stops bleeding, removes ammonia, and replaces slime coat. Get an oxygenator and G-Juice and keep your fish alive.